How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is Super Bowl Sunday here at Wrestling Observer Live, February 2nd. And because the Super Bowl is today, and quite frankly, although we do the show annually, a lot of you are preparing to watch the Super Bowl. Kickoff starts in about 30 minutes. So what we're going to do is spend an hour here live. And then in the second hour, if you happen to not be watching the Super Bowl, you can stick around and we'll be having a replay of last week's interview with Jim Ross, which was a great interview that I don't know how many people got a chance to hear it last week, but if you didn't, this is your chance to hear the replay in the second hour this week. But here in the first hour, we got so much news to talk about here today, including what is going on with CM Punk. He has quit WWE. Quit the company. Walked out. And of course, as is the case in all aspects of entertainment, when somebody quits, there's always a possibility he will come back. However, it is looking like CM Punk is gone, perhaps forever, from WWE, as his contract does expire this summer. And you know the issues had to have been bad if CM Punk was willing to walk out of the company 2 months before WrestleMania. This is the most lucrative time of the year for anybody that works in WWE. You've got the Royal Rumble, you've got the Elimination Chamber, you've got WrestleMania. More money is to be made in this three-month period for anybody working in WWE, particularly somebody in a main event angle, than at any other time during the year. And he was scheduled to be not in the big main event of the show, but a main event angle on the show with Triple H. He has walked out of the company. He did not feel that was a big angle. And where it goes from here is anybody's guess. We're going to be talking about that here on the program today. We'll talk about what's going on with Daniel Bryan, results from the WWE Royal Rumble, as well as some comments on the UFC 169 show last night. Uriah Faber not beating Henan Barão to win the UFC featherweight title. So we shall discuss that. And of course, all of the news. We'll take your phone calls as well in a couple of segments here. And your Twitter questions to hashtag F4WLive as well. So we got a lot of stuff coming up on the show today, everybody. Stick around, back in a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide here on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Want to thank you very much for listening today here on Super Bowl Sunday. Kickoff starting in less than 20 minutes. And for those of you loyal listeners, we are here live for an hour. And about a half hour after kickoff, we will be departing the program. We'll have a replay of last week's show with Jim Ross airing immediately after we go off the air live. And for the final 30 minutes of this show, as we talk pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, we'll have Mike do some updates here and there on what is going on with the big game. And Mike, how you doing today?
I have no complaints whatsoever. I'm in a house full of Seahawks fans, and hopefully they don't get too loud or rowdy in this first hour of the show.
You fixing to do some eating and drinking?
Yeah. You know, this should actually be a national holiday. If anything should be added on to the roster of national holidays, this should definitely be it. Monday, Sunday and Monday is a hangover day. It should definitely be in effect. That, and to also settle your stomach down after all the junk food you usually eat on a day like this.
You know, I went to lunch just before doing this show, and on the way back, I briefly have to get on the freeway. And I got on the freeway, and there is an exit ramp at the other end of the freeway. And unfortunately, that exit ramp was backed up all the way to the on-ramp that I took to get onto the freeway. So in other words, I couldn't exit once I got on the freeway. I had to go all the way to Alderwood. No one's going to understand what that means, but trust me, it's a long loop. I had to go all the way to Alderwood and back. I barely got back in time for the show today. It's the traffic here. You would think it was a national holiday. I'm here in Seattle, for those of you unaware. And there are Seahawks just crazies everywhere. So, yeah, it's a big day. We'll be updating everybody on the game as we progress here on the show. It's our annual Super Bowl show. Big news in WWE, however. We had to go live this week as CM Punk has walked out of the company. He showed up at Raw last week and guess what? Said, Vince, I'm out of here. He went home. And obviously, this is causing some issues, as CM Punk was heavily factored into WrestleMania. He was going to have a match with Triple H on the show, which at least the company felt, hey, big match, big push for CM Punk. Apparently, he thought otherwise, and so he has gone home. Now, granted, he could be back tomorrow. He could be back next week. I'm sure that Vince McMahon is going to try to talk him into coming back. I've read a lot of stuff online, people saying this is all in Vince McMahon's court. That's not the case. This is all in CM Punk's court. CM Punk is the one who's going to decide whether he comes back or not. Vince McMahon did not send CM Punk home. Vince McMahon would like to make this whole thing work, but at the end of the day, Punk's either coming back or he's not. So, Mike, let's kick it off with your thoughts on this situation. CM Punk leaving the company. Do you expect him to be back, or is this the last we have seen of Phil Brooks?
I definitely think this could be the last we have seen of Phil Brooks. You know, his contract was coming due. I guess it was around July, I believe it was. And people had talked about him possibly not re-signing. Somebody that wondered if he'd even make it that long, and he did not. He's very upset over what he seems, you know, sees as not a big deal, which is interesting because considering his boss in a lot of ways is Triple H, you know, for him to look at this and walk away at this time, it is truly sending a message, not only, you know, turning the angle down the way it is, but also walking away from the money that it is due him if he were to go on and wrestle at WrestleMania. And I guess there's a lot of, you know, did he do the right thing in the right way? You know, it's always a loaded thing when it comes to these quote unquote independent contractors who work for WWE. And, you know, how do you really draw, you know, a true reaction out of somebody and make a real point? You know, this is the way that you do it. And again, this has actually opened up a lot of different sub issues as well too. It's more, you know, we've talked about CM Punk leaving and obviously everything that goes around that's a big issue, but it also has a lot to do with, you know, how Daniel Bryan is going to be perceived. It also has a little bit to do with how these guys are going to be compensated, because that kind of came out this week that we haven't really talked about a whole lot. And talking about this WWE Network and these new deals that they have coming up when it comes to the TV rights, how are wrestlers figured into this? Usually they would get a lot of these guys get a percentage of what happens on the pay-per-view. Now, if all of these pay-per-views are on the network, you know, so again, it was a sub issue, but it's one that, you know, people had to think about this week when it came to Punk and his contract.
There we go. We're having some technical issues here, but we seem to be back. All right, so CM Punk is gone, and as you noted, this could be the end. I mean, his contract is up in July, and we've already got a million people calling here on the phone to talk about CM Punk, so we may start taking some calls here in just a moment. But it is a testy issue here when you say to the boss. And Triple H isn't the top of the food chain, obviously, Vince McMahon is. But when you say to one of your bosses, not exactly in these words, but this certainly is the this is the message that's being sent. I don't think having a match with you is a big deal. It's interesting. It's interesting. And it is looking like Daniel Bryan now, of all people, is probably going to be getting that match with Triple H at WrestleMania. And they kind of built it up a little bit on Raw Monday. And those two guys are now likely to be having a match. But I can tell you that there is a lot of talk about what to do with this WrestleMania card now. There is still Elimination Chamber coming up. There are a lot of different ways you can go with the Elimination Chamber. You could take the title off Randy Orton. You could put the title on anybody. John Cena could get the title. Any of the guys in the chamber could get the title. There's a lot of ways to shuffle up the card still. And I guess we'll see what they end up doing. We got a million people here on the phone. Let's take a call here. You are on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy in New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
Yeah, tried to get some healthy food for work. Place was closed. Got some pizza. Watching the Super Bowl on my tablet. Listening to you on Sports Byline because it seems to be what's working now. And all the talk of everything else, I had a totally off-the-wall question to ask you.
What might that be?
Do you know if it's confirmed if, I know 2015 is California, do you know if it's confirmed yet if 2016 is Dallas?
It's not 100% confirmed, but I'm virtually positive it's going to be Dallas.
All right, so let's say it's Dallas. Does that lead to the possibility, considering, I know it's not his home city, but the possibility that would be where The Undertaker finally has his last match because he's from Texas?
It's possible. I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't know if it's going to be just because they're in Texas. I think Undertaker's going to go as long as Undertaker's going to go.
I think so too, but I would say this. If you could do one more epic one, if you're going to either end the streak or have like a possibility that this would be his last one, and I know this is far-fetched, but to do him and Austin in a match where it would be all smoke and mirrors and everyone would know what it was going into it, that's something you could actually pull off and do it and really make it an epic, epic thing, especially when you're going to try to put 100,000 in that place.
All right, we're going to take phone calls when we come back from the break. We had a couple of other news notes here to talk about, and then we will start taking calls in the next break. So check out the bumper for the phone number. I'll throw it out after the break as well. But Daniel Bryan and Triple H at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of match order, but I think that a Daniel Bryan Triple H match is a significantly better idea than the initial idea of Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. I just think with the momentum that Bryan has, the way the fans are reacting to him, I just think if you put him at WrestleMania in a match with Sheamus, you're going to have fans hijacking the entire show as they virtually did with the Royal Rumble last Sunday.
Oh, my God, yes. And I think, again, I know we're coming up on the break here. One thing I definitely think they should do is consider putting the belt on Bryan or putting the belt on somebody else. Hopefully he wins it coming out of the chamber and can face Batista, who may be turning heel anyway. I think going in that direction to have Orton turn face, being sick of being put down by McMahon and Helmsley, would be the way I would go. I doubt they will, though.
All right, we are going to be heading to a break here in just a moment. We're going to be talking when we come back from the break about the upcoming pay-per-view schedule. They have the Elimination Chamber, they have WrestleMania, and then they have Extreme Rules in Seattle, Bryan's hometown, which obviously is no coincidence. Where could they be going? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break and take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. So stick around, everybody, back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always check us out in a million different places. TuneIn Radio, the TuneIn Radio website and app. TuneIn appears to be down today, but fear not, the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, their website, the Sirius Satellite Radio app is usually working as well, plus the Cable Radio Network, the American Forces Network. All of these are linked up at WrestlingObserver.com every Sunday, so if you try to hear the show in your usual outlet and for whatever reason it's not working, head to WrestlingObserver.com and you'll have about a dozen other ways to listen to this program. Super Bowl kicking off in 4 minutes here. Mike Sempervivi will be giving us updates throughout the show. And his son, apparently, will be giving us updates throughout the show. We are talking the WWE Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, and so much more. And the lineup, Elimination Chamber, is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And following that, it will be WWE WrestleMania. And then after that, it is Seattle's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And again, Seattle is the hometown of Daniel Bryan, as we were talking about in the last segment. So for those of you that watched the Royal Rumble and just could not believe that Daniel Bryan was buried, so to speak, by losing to Bray Wyatt and not involved in the Royal Rumble at all, what you need to know is big things coming for Daniel Bryan. This is all turning into a storyline in a lot of different ways. And Daniel Bryan will be getting a match with Triple H. My guess will be the stipulation will be that if Daniel Bryan can beat Triple H at WrestleMania, he will get a shot at the title at his hometown of Seattle at Extreme Rules. We'll see if they end up doing that, but that would certainly make sense. I do think that before the year is out, Daniel Bryan is going to have a run as the WWE champion. Exactly how they get there, who knows? But, Mike, if you were in charge, Daniel Bryan champion going into WrestleMania, winning the title at WrestleMania, perhaps in a three-way, or winning the title in his hometown of Seattle?
The idea of him winning the title at WrestleMania with that hardcore fan base, especially in New York, that's something they would really want to see. And to have that visual of him doing the yes chants, 70,000, you know, it's like Benoit and Eddie Guerrero hugging after WrestleMania 20 or one of those types of things. It would be a really epic thing to do. But with that said, with Extreme Rules being in Seattle, him getting the victory over Triple H and vanquishing him, and this is, you know, everybody's got to remember, they usually hit a reset button after WrestleMania anyway, and they have fresh things going forward for the rest of the year. Whether they're good or not is a different story, but, you know, let's say Sting happens to be the Raw GM, right? Which is something that, you know, has been bandied about. You could have Vince McMahon coming back. You could have happened where Daniel Bryan not only gets that role after winning at WrestleMania, he's got this big thing going into Extreme Rules, and you can involve Shawn Michaels, or again, there's lots of different things you can do. So even though I think the optimum thing would obviously be, from an old wrestling point of view, have him win at the biggest show, with the way things are set up and the new network and all, him vanquishing Triple H and then going on and winning the title at Extreme Rules, whether it's from Orton, Batista, no matter who it is, that could actually be just, again, that could be just as good. It's not the best, because the WrestleMania is the best, but it could also end up being really, really good.
Someone on Twitter here actually suggested this idea, which is that you put Triple H and Daniel Bryan on first at WrestleMania, and Bryan wins and then gets put into a three-way for the title in the main event. I don't think you're going to see Triple H working an opener at WrestleMania. I suppose stranger things have happened, but I'm pretty skeptical about that. I also don't see the match going on last, but I can't think of a better way to end WrestleMania than Daniel Bryan victorious with his move in the middle of the ring and leading an entire stadium full of 75,000 people in a 5-minute long yes chant as the show goes off the air. So they got a lot of things to think about. Go ahead.
Think of it. I mean, think of how this could end up, though. You could do the second best thing, which is Batista wins the title. Obviously, you have the risk of that in the main event. You have Daniel Bryan come out and challenge him since he's beaten Triple H already. You have the crowd going yes as the show ends. And then you have Batista flipping full heel on Raw on Monday night after that, going, ever since I got here, you've stolen all my glory. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to kill you. And then that leads into Extreme Rules.
We're taking phone calls, by the way, everybody. 855-478-4478. Toll free in the United States and Canada. 855-478-4478. If you want to talk about the Royal Rumble, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania, any of the topics we're discussing today. 855-478-4478. I know the Super Bowl just started, but hey, it just started. So give us a call at those numbers. The Royal Rumble was last Sunday, Mike, and we did the predictions for the show, and it actually pretty much went exactly as we had predicted. Dave Batista won the Royal Rumble. He is the number one contender for the title at WrestleMania. I guess the Randy Orton beat John Cena, as we had expected. Maybe it was a surprise, maybe not. Bray Wyatt beating Daniel Bryan. Obviously, when we were discussing the lineup last week, I did not see that as being out of the realm of possibility. I actually thought that maybe Bray Wyatt would win if they were going to insert Bryan into the Rumble, then he'd win the whole thing, which I thought was unlikely, but a possibility. But overall, up and down the show, I mean, if you were one of those people really upset that Daniel Bryan was not in the Royal Rumble, well, you probably hated the show. But if you expected going in, as we did, that he was not going to be in the Royal Rumble, and you just looked at it from a match quality standpoint, it wasn't a bad show. And even the match that everybody really turned on, the John Cena-Randy Orton match, it wasn't a bad match, I thought. What were your thoughts on the show?
I thought it was a good show, and it's one of those shows that's going to be looked back on as being really underrated because of the way things went from what people really wanted to see, which was Daniel Bryan. But you know, the pre-show was good with the New Age Outlaws beating the Rhodes Brothers, which starts that build, you know, possible build towards WrestleMania for those guys. You know, the Orton Cena match was good. The problem was we've seen it a zillion and one times, and then on top of it, obviously you have the Daniel Bryan shadow that overwhelmed it. The same thing with the Royal Rumble. I liked a lot of the spots in the Royal Rumble. I thought it was good. You had Kofi's spot. I did like the JBL spot a lot, even though I know a lot of people didn't like that one. I thought that was, you know, as a good comedy spot, I thought that was really effective for me. And again, the whole show was a good show. It wasn't a mind bender or anything like that. But I think when everybody calms down, when things shake out, and then you watch this thing a year from now with everything, you know, let go in hindsight, obviously what happens with Daniel Bryan's going to have an effect on it. But as far as just the quality and the mechanics of the show, it was very good.
A lot of screaming going on over there. What's happening in the Super Bowl?
You know, I had my head down, but I just looked back up there. There's a flag. There's a safety. There's a safety, and the Seattle Seahawks look to be up 2-0. Hold on here. Go ahead and fill some time as I find out what happens.
We're 3 minutes into the Super Bowl, and Seattle is up by two?
Not even 3 minutes. 12 seconds into the Super Bowl, the Peyton Manning was taking the snap back from center. He looked to change the play, but the center snapped the ball. It went over Manning's head into the end zone. Seattle leads 2-0.
Dear God. You know, when they won the NFC Championship, I believe it's called. I'm not a football guy, but my neighborhood was nearly engulfed in flames. Everybody was blowing stuff up. There was screaming, people jumping up and down. It sounded like it was a war zone, to be honest with you. And if the Seahawks win tonight, I hope I can make it back home. From this,
Seahawks win tonight, I win some money because Delaware's got state gambling.
Everywhere I've looked, the Seahawks have been the favorite.
See, I keep seeing the Broncos at 2.5. I was lucky; I got an early card in, and I had the Seattle plus a half.
My God, I should do what I did last time, and that is watch something else, but leave my window open, and I can monitor the Super Bowl by listening to my neighborhood.
Knowing you, why aren't you watching the Kitty Bowl?
The Kitty Bowl, I didn't know was on.
Animal Planet, they have the Kitty Bowl every year.
I saw a shot of it on my Instagram, but it was too late. I'd already missed it. Back to the show here very quickly. We got a couple of minutes. The Elimination Chamber. It's Randy Orton, John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Antonio Cesaro, and Christian for the WWE World Heavyweight Title. That is the main event in the chamber. And also on the show, it is the Wyatt family against The Shield. Those are the two matches announced thus far. And the championship match, interesting to see Antonio Cesaro and Christian in there. There is the possibility that one or the other will suffer a supposed injury and be removed. I was told that. I immediately thought, well, that must mean they're going to put Brock Lesnar in. But apparently Brock Lesnar is not even working the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So why they've been building him up as a big number one contender, I have no earthly idea.
Because he's Brock Lesnar, and you can do that with him even though you've burned through his dates. That's fine. Completely fine you do that. You know, when it comes to the chamber and you announce Antonio Cesaro and Christian, you know, it would be just a complete disaster unless you're going to turn Cesaro heel to have him eliminated from that. But no offense to Christian fans. If they do change things up, he's obviously the guy that's most on, you know, that the odds are on for him to be eliminated and replaced by somebody else.
All right, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, we will have more coverage of Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, and, of course, the Super Bowl here on our Super Bowl Sunday edition of Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet. WrestlingObserver.com, TuneInRadio.com, iHeartRadio. Check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app. American Forces Network, big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, so much more. And if you love this show and you only get to hear it once per week, have I got the place for you. F4WLive.com. That's F4WLive.com. It's also linked up at our main website, WrestlingObserver.com. F4WLive.com hosts our 24/7 radio feed. Audio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our latest free shows are streaming there all the time. And twice a day, live shows. The live show schedule is linked up at F4WLive.com and WrestlingObserver.com. We got a live show coming up tonight. It's late. 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific, but fear not. If you miss any of the shows, you are welcome to sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. It's as low as $9.99 a month. You get podcast MP3 access to not only every show that we do every single day, but every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives for subscribers. So $10.99 for 1 month, and you can have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio available for you on demand anytime you want it. So check out WrestlingObserver.com. Check out the stream at F4WLive.com and join the fun. We'll be back tonight with more. And Mike Sempervivi, there was screaming, I believe profanity, children just freaking out at your house. What happened in the game?
Yes, no profanity, at least not yet. But Seattle went on a nice little drive. In fact, Pete Carroll is throwing the challenge flag now on their last play to see whether Russell Wilson actually got a first down. If they don't and fail at this, then Seattle will be forced to kick a 27-yard field goal. If not, they will have first and goal at about the 9-yard line of Denver. So Seattle driving, looking very good so far in this game.
My God, sounds amazing. I don't understand anything about football.
I know you as a huge sports fan can really appreciate
completely
that.
Completely out to lunch. All I need to know is Seattle winning or losing? And will I have to beware of celebrations or riots on the way home? That's all that matters to me right now. We're taking phone calls only. No Skype calls this hour. Phone calls only. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about any of the topics that we are discussing here today. And the CM Punk story has just been such a huge story over the last week or so. And it's funny talking to people in WWE. This is, I can't say it's split right down the middle, but there is a contingent of people within WWE who believe that CM Punk is just like a hero, standing up for what he believes in. He doesn't just bow down like so many others in WWE. He's not happy. He saved his money. He'll go home. Good for him. And then there's the other half, the other contingent that have, speaking of profanity, very profane things to say about CM Punk. Screw this guy, I guess is the friendliest way to put it. Let him go. We don't need him. Glad he's gone. He's miserable all the time. So it's a very interesting time within WWE. It's a very polarizing figure, and it's going to be very interesting over the next couple of weeks to see what happens in terms of attempts to bring him back. I'd also like to mention very quickly before we go on that one of our listeners contacted the Key Arena to ask about ticket sales for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view on May 4th. And the Seattle Center Key Arena responded, unfortunately, we do not have WWE on May 4th. We are aware of the rumors that have been circulating. We love having the WWE and WWE fans in our building, and we cannot wait to have them back. So they are claiming that, in fact, there is no show scheduled at the Key Arena. I would guess that that is being done because nothing official has been stated. I am pretty sure that WWE is going to the Key Arena on May 4th. But officially, according to the Key Arena, no show that day. Funny how this works.
I guess so, yeah. You know, but WWE's got a Raw coming up in Richmond, Virginia. That's all the way in July. But sometimes there have, you know, arenas booked or nothing, you know, solid in stone yet in other ways. So I don't think it's anything to really look into too much yet.
The Wyatt family versus The Shield in a six-man at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. It would seem likely the idea here is that the Wyatt family gets their big win over The Shield and further dissension, the further split in the foundation of The Shield. And obviously, as with anything involving WrestleMania, the question is, do you do it to lead to WrestleMania or do you do it at WrestleMania? And in the case of the Roman Reigns split from the Shield in his, I guess, eventual singles babyface run, to me, I think you do the split at the WrestleMania pay-per-view as opposed to Extreme Rules. But you could do the split at Extreme Rules and build to a match at WrestleMania. I know that one suggestion has been a couple of weeks ago, I believe Seth Rollins, of all people, pinned Big E Langston. And everybody's kind of wondering, well, why did that happen? Why didn't Dean Ambrose pin Big E Langston? And you could sort of do a situation where maybe Rollins wins that title, or you do something that, long story short, leads to a U.S. Intercontinental unification match at WrestleMania, and you've got Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, all the Shield members in a three-way for that unified title, which, of course, you could then put on Roman Reigns to try to make the belt mean something. What are your thoughts on all of these scenarios?
I think the easiest thing or the smartest thing to do would be break them up at WrestleMania. They've been so careful with them the entire time, especially with Roman Reigns. You know, we talked about how he would probably have his huge coming out party last Sunday. He most certainly did. They've done everything right in this, where kind of the blow off should be, you know, it should be on the biggest stage. You can have the whole having that Big E Langston, Dean Ambrose match where there's, you know, Shield a screw up or something like that. Ambrose loses the belt and it's unified to Big E Langston, which it probably should be anyway. And then you could have Rollins and Reigns lose to somebody. They have the big blow up right then and there between all three of them. And Reigns walks out of WrestleMania with that entire crowd, making him the star that they really want him to be anyway. They've done this whole story so right that I think you do it that way. And then you focus on Reigns, figuring out what you're going to do with him exploding out of the gate for the rest of the year.
When Batista returned, Raw did a gigantic number. And now here we are. The Royal Rumble has come and gone. And Big Dave Batista booed unmercifully. Now, in your opinion, based on the crowd at the Royal Rumble, is the vociferous booing of Big Dave Batista sort of just a smart fan reaction to him coming back and getting this opportunity? Do you feel that maybe the vast majority of fans are actually very excited that he's back to get this opportunity based on the rating? Or do you think that everybody will be turning on Big Dave very soon?
I don't think everybody will, and the rating proved that. I got to be honest, when he re-debuted on Monday, that Monday night, I was kind of underwhelmed by the whole thing, and I don't think I was alone in that. But then the rating came out, and, you know, obviously he's a guy that reaches across all boundaries, not to the level that CM Punk does, or I'm sorry, John Cena does, but I think he's got to reach into every little bit of your fan base, and that's what really, and he's a big star. And he looks like a big star, and that's what puts him over the top. I don't think everybody's turning on him. I think he's a symbol of what they, you know, a lot of the hardcore fans obviously don't like. And look, I think everybody likes Batista, but they're booing the what he represents, which they've been talking about the possibility of him going heel anyway. This builds into like the scenario I gave you earlier on with him, where, you know, him as the big machine. You know, Daniel Bryan overcoming all of that stuff, even the big superstar who comes back, who's bigger than anything and everything, you know, him conquering that to win the title at Extreme Rules or something like that. Again, it's something that can be very functional. Look, you can keep him a good guy to do that. It's not like people are going to boo him forever. I just think that would be the best way probably to go with him.
What's the update on the game?
Right now, Seattle was forced to kick a field goal, so it's 5-0. And that's it. Kickoff to Denver, and we're just waiting on them to retake the ball and begin their next series.
5-0 Seahawks, everybody. Last
10-21 night, left in the first quarter.
10-21 left in the first quarter?
Yes.
All right. So the last night's UFC, Uriah Faber, Henan Burrell was the main event, and Henan Burrell pretty much destroyed him, although the stoppage was questionable. I had imaginary money on this fight in my odds game with Todd Martin. And by the way, for those of you keeping track, so far I've lost two in a row, one due to a bad decision and one due to a bad call. So I'm off to an awesome year here, but I will accept this loss because I believe Listen, I'm not accepting.
You accept with an asterisk. Todd loves it when you do that.
No, I do that with the Josh Thompson one. I don't accept that one. I'm upset about that one because I think that that was a bad decision. However, while it was a bad call last night, I admit that, listen, if this would have gone five rounds, it wouldn't have gone five rounds because Hedden Brow would have probably finished it in round two. So I accept this loss because from watching the fight, there's zero evidence that it was going to go any other way than the way that it did, despite the bad call. So I'm not complaining about this one, but I will still complain about Josh Thompson. What did you think of this finish?
This is going to be an underrated show, too. I know there were 10 decisions, broke the record on that. In a lot of ways, it was boring. But, you know, just from a historical point of view, it was really impressive. Hedden Brow, the stoppage was bad. Herb Dean's a great referee. Just happened to make a mistake in this one when Brow had Faber down. And a lot of the punches he was raining down on him were hitting his shoulder and his glove. Herb Dean had asked Uriah Faber if, you know, give me a sign that you can defend because he was all turtled up. And he gave a thumbs up that Herb Dean missed. So it was a bad call, but frankly, from the beating that Brow was laying on Faber, you can't believe it was going to go that long, even though Faber is incredibly, incredibly durable. So that shows you the kind of performance that Brow had. I mean, he really may be the best fighter in the world. I think he is. 35-fight winning streak. It's a 35-fight unbeaten streak, 22 in a row now. Is wins. He's just a absolute monster machine who is great at everything. He's a future Hall of Famer, and it was absolutely a Hall of Famer performance. Conversely, Uriah Faber, for all of those people who are upset over him always landing in title shots, and believe it or not, if you include WEC fights, Uriah Faber last night tied the record that Randy Couture has with losses in title fights with 6 of them. For everybody who's upset about the fact that Faber works his way into those fights, even though, frankly, in my opinion, he deserves every single last one of them, he's going to have another one as well because the decision, again, it probably was going to go the way it was going to go. With that said, it was way too early a decision. So, again, I feel a little bit bad for Faber. With that said, it was Brow and Aldo are just fantastic fighters. And as great as John Jones is, you can say Aldo a lot longer against, you know, just as tough competition in their scale. And they are just magnificent, incredible, incredible fighters.
We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we will do some final notes here on the show and then be prepared. Coming up pretty soon, it is going to be the interview with Jim Ross we did last week. Excellent interview with good old JR. So check it out. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Paul here on Twitter really does not like my idea about the Shield unifying the title. Unifying the U.S. and Intercontinental title with the Shield is terrible. If TNA added somebody like this, they would be crapped all over. Well, to be honest, I disagree. Because TNA is currently doing a storyline where a man is stalking a woman, and she is supposed to be completely oblivious to this, despite the fact that it airs on national television every week, and it airs on the big screen in the arena, and she watches it while it's airing, and then has to pretend she's unaware of it. That's completely different from this deal with the Shield here. Now, Mike, where are we in this game?
We have Seattle driving right now at their own 45-yard line, 3rd and 4, with 5:52 left in the first quarter. It's still Seattle 5-0, and Russell Wilson completes it over the middle to, not sure who that was, Doug Baldwin maybe, I'm not 100% sure, but they get the first down, they continue to drive, and Seattle may be in flames on your way home tonight.
They may be in flames, my God.
No, not the team, your city.
Good or bad? I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know. It would be look what they did to Vancouver after they lost the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. Just batten down the hatches. There may be a plunder of flying.
We're still ahead by 5, everybody, here in Seattle. Don't panic yet. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up here for this segment. But when we come back from the break, we're going to be doing a replay of last week's show with good old JR, Jim Ross. Excellent interview with Jim Ross, so that's coming up here in the next segment. Don't forget, tonight we'll be back live on the stream, F4WLive.com. It also links up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. And we are out of here. Everybody have fun at your Super Bowl parties. Drive safe, especially if you're in Seattle one way or the other. I know how crazy it can be here after a game like this, so be ready. And we'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks again, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.